கிருஷ்ண பிரிஷ்டாய பூத்தலை ஸ்ரீமத்தேஸ்வர முப்பத் சுவாமிக்கு ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is entitled Questions by the Sages. We'll do word for word first. Tatra. Therefore. Thereof. Tatra. Thereof. Anjasa.
Made easy.
Ayushman.
Ayushman.
Blessed with a long duration of life. Bhavata.
By
your good self.
Yat.
Whatever.
Vinishchitam.
Ascertained.
Pumsam.
For the people in general. Ekantataha.
Absolutely.
Shreya,
ultimate good.
That.
Naha,
to us.
Samsitum,
to explain.
Arasi,
deserve. Tatra tatra jasya
yushman.
Tatra tatranjas ayushman. Bhavata yad vinischitam.
Bhavata
yad vinischitam. Pumsam ekantatah
shreyas.
Pumsam ekantatah shreyas. Tanna samsitum arhasi. Tanna samsitum arhasi. Tatra tatra anjasayushman. Bhavata yad vinischitam. Pumsam ekantatah shreyas. Tanna samsitum arhasi. Please chant.
Tatra tatra anjasa ayushman.
Tatra tatra anjasa ayushman.
Bhavata yad vinischitam. Pumsam ekantatah shreyas.
So the sages of Naimisharanya are addressing Suta Goswami here. Translation: please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. Let's repeat, please.
Please, therefore,
being blessed with many years,
explain to us
in an easily understandable way
what you have ascertained
to be the absolute
and ultimate good for the people in general.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharya is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in thought of the well-being of the general public, especially their spiritual well-being. Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. The Acharyas therefore give directions in spiritual well-being for people in general. Foreseeing the incompetencies of the people in this age of Kali, or the iron age of quarrel, the sages requested that Suta Goswami give a summary of all revealed scriptures, because the people of this age are condemned in every respect. The sages therefore inquired of the absolute good, which is the ultimate good for the people. The condemned state of affairs of the people of this age is described as follows. Omagyana Tivirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Nipandana Tasmai Shri Gurudhanaha Ukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nangayati Girin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatara. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, it's been a while since I have sat on this Vyasasan, very, very esteemed place of, and I really pray and request you all to please give me your blessings that I can speak something of some significance on this very auspicious and very significant chapter 1 of the first canto. And we have waited almost 25 years to come here, so it's very, very special, and I don't think I'll be here alive, most likely not, to see the end of the study of this whole Bhagavatam. And so I'm very happy that I'm here now and able to hear and see and hear the realizations of all of the devotees. The first 9-8 verses, it's been amazing to hear the devotees and hear Srila Prabhupada's commentary, and to hear the excitement which is rippling through our community for the beginning of the Bhagavatam. I really feel very blessed. So, actually this translation starts with being blessed many years. So Suta Goswami, actually Prabhupada, actually what happened was, a few weeks ago my son was telling me that Vedabase now has links to Srila Prabhupada's classes, audio classes of the verses. And I didn't really pay attention, but when I started researching for this class, I actually saw that there is links to the actual audio class. And for this verse, Prabhupada has actually given a class. So I was very happy that I was able to hear Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada actually goes almost line by line, and then in the purport he goes line by line, and he speaks on this verse. And actually he goes on to the next verse also. So whoever is giving class tomorrow, if you didn't find it, Prabhupada is also given on the next verse, but it's included in the same verse. So, Suta Goswami, as we heard yesterday, that he was selected to speak at this esteemed place of Naimisharanya because he received this knowledge from Vyasadev and the other sages. They, on account of his being very submissive and serious. So that was what was discussed yesterday, that he was submissive and serious. And actually this is the very first qualification that we all need to have, that to become submissive, as we actually first come to Krishna consciousness, just the act of coming into the temple and offering obeisances. I know many of us, it took us a while to start offering obeisances because you're actually submitting yourself in front of the deity of Srila Prabhupada, in front of the deities. And it requires a certain degree of submission. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, we have to become serious to make any progress in our devotional life. Strict, sincere, and serious. So those are the three things which he talks about, because it's also from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has said serious many times. Strict, sincere, and serious. And submissive. So that is the qualification. And the sages actually accepted Suta Goswami as the captain of the ship for those who desire to cross this difficult ocean of Kali, the Kali Yuga ocean, because it takes away all our good qualities. And so in this chapter, which is called Questions by the Sages, this is actually the first question that the sages are asking. And they're saying, what have you thought? What do you think is the best way to achieve the highest goal of life? And they say, Anjasa, just make it easy. And why is that? Because in this age of Kali Yuga, easy things are required. Srila Prabhupada has pointed out that actually in the next verse, actually when I read the next verse, I was saying, I wish I had that verse. But I'm happy that I have this, but I can kind of just, I'll just refer to it, that Prabhupada, in the next verse is actually very famous. Manda sumanda malayo, manda bhagya hi upadhita. That this age of Kali, it's very difficult to execute spiritual life. And why is that? I know all of you know better than me. Maybe we can just go across if you know. Why is it, why this age of Kali is so condemned? One point.
Lazy and misguided. We're always disturbed.
Duplicity. We have duplicity.
Short-lived.
Untruthfulness.
Yeah.
Untruthfulness. Okay. There's one which I remember, whenever I go for book distribution, I say this all the time. Quarrelsome. At a slight pretense, we start fighting. Is it, whether it is between... Hare Krishna. All glories. So, because of all these negativities which are in the Kali Yuga, penances are not very much possible. And we need something very easy, so that because of our state, a fallen state, we cannot actually accept very many severe austerities. And the yoga system of yam, niyam, asan is very difficult to practice in this age. And we know that it needs control of the senses, because because our senses are so strong. And Prabhupada mentions it again and again, that any one sense which can actually take us away from our endeavor, from our vrata, from our dhrira vrata. So even many learned people, learned men and women, have actually fallen because of our senses. So in this age, our real business is to, of course in every age the real business is to practice Krishna consciousness, but how do we practice by the easiest method in this age? And Suta Goswami, as the Bhagavatam goes along, as it is unfolding, we will find out the easiest way. So Srila Prabhupada actually says, so the first line of this verse, Tatra Tatra Anjas Ayushman Bhavata Yad Vinishchitam. So the question is being asked, very funnily Prabhupada says, it's not asked from a shopkeeper, it's being asked from a self-realized person, who is Suta Goswami. He's a guru and he has learned sufficiently from Vyasadeva, and from other sages. And the sages are actually calling him Ayushman. It's not that because he's very old. I think I heard one of the other speakers say something about, not sure whether he's so old or he's very learned. Srila Prabhupada specifically says they're asking him not because he's old. He was young, but they're asking him, and they're actually saying, be blessed with a long span of life, Ayushman. Because he was very learned, and that's why, of course, he got that position of being on the Vyasasan. And so they're saying, what is the easiest process to achieve the highest goal of life? So the next line is actually very significant. Pumsam ekantata shreyas. Shreyas. Ekantata means absolute, and shreyas means benefit.
So, not only benefit, it's actually the supreme benefit or the ultimate benefit. So there are two kinds of benefit. One is called Prayas and one is called Shreyas. And in Srila Prabhupada's commentary, we see again and again, Prabhupada actually compares them a lot. And actually, if I was teaching in my middle school class in social studies, I would say compare and contrast between Prayas and Shreyas. So maybe some of the devotees, all of you learned devotees, maybe would somebody like to say something about Prayas and Shreyas? Prabhuji, do we have a microphone? Anybody would like to say anything about anything you know about Prayas and Shreyas?
What Prabhupada usually compared the Prayas to sense gratification. You know, you just get an immediate result, short-lived, and there's not much insight there. And Shreyas, Uttama Shreya, the ultimate good that's beyond Uttam, is beyond the Tam. And I think we got to change to that. So,
it's cutting in and out. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Anybody else who would like to add to that? Mother Agatha.
I figured out a way for me to remember the difference between the two. P comes before S in the alphabet. So, and when you Prayas means you get immediate, it's closer, you get immediate result, or you're aiming for immediate result. Whereas Shreyas is you're aiming for a long term, further out.
Thank you, Mother. Yes, so yeah, Prayas and Shreyas. Anybody else had anything to say? So Prabhupada actually says, so it's just like a child, you know, a child has to go to school, but the child wants to play. Prayas, that's a prayas, you couldn't compare that, that's a prayas, because he wants to play, he doesn't want to go to school. But his shreyas is that he must go to school so he can be educated, so he can have his future life be secure. So that is shreyas. So shreyas, which is ultimate benefit and very auspicious, and prayas, which is immediately beneficial and not so auspicious. So shreyas and prayas. So this shreyas, I thought I'll just focus on this term, because many different places in the Bhagavatam this term comes up, and so I would just kind of refer which other places it's showing up. So of course the sages are saying what is the kind of describe what we should accept. So this is an inquiry, and the inquiry, so what is the ultimate benefit of life? The benefit is to stop this cycle of birth and death, old age and disease. So that is the ultimate benefit. And how do we do it? That, of course, Srila Prabhupada has given in his book so much. But people in general do not know what's the ultimate benefit of life. And kind of being involved in book distribution, I see every time we go out and we show, that's our very first thing which we show, at least I show in the Bhagavad Gita, going from childhood to youth to old age. And when you show that picture to a conditioned soul, they actually get quite charmed by it. Like, never thought about it in this way. That I'm going, and then I'm leaving, and then I'm... And more we see people actually are aware that the soul is leaving the body. But even after they see that, and if we tell them, so if I tell you, you're not this body, will you accept it? I'm like, what are you talking about? So they get very, then that actually piques, P-I-Q-E, piques their attention that I'm not this body. And it's a very simple representation, but it actually guides them to that ultimate goal of life. You want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And it's a very good segue to tell them about the holy name, to tell them about chanting, in a very small, like less than 2 minute presentation, you can actually take them and point them towards the Shreyas instead of the prayers they're doing all the time. And actually getting very disturbed, because that's the qualification of Kali Yuga. Being in Kali Yuga, you're always disturbed. So I would really appeal to everybody, please try and keep giving out, because as I'm hearing from all the devotees who have spoken in the last week and that, or week and a half now, that Shravanam Kirtanam, when we say Shravanam, we are hearing this Bhagavatam, and Kirtanam is when we are actually presenting what we have heard to other people. Harinam, that is one Kirtan, and when we speak what we have heard, our realizations, even if we don't have a realization, we can just kind of become a parrot for Srila Prabhupada, like all these parrots on the altar today. We can become a parrot and just repeat those words, and that is actually success of our life as a devotee, as an aspiring devotee of Krishna, that we hear and then we speak to other people. So, okay, so Shreyas, just kind of focusing on Shreyas, there is this, in Canto 8, Lord Shiva is speaking to the Lord's form of Mohini Murti after the ocean churning happens. So this is Canto 8, Chapter 12. Taveva charanam bhojam shreyas kama nirashisha vishyo bhayata sangam munaya samupastate. So here the word shreya kama is used. Persons desiring the ultimate auspiciousness, the ultimate goal of life. So the verse goes like this. Pure devotees or great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal of life and who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, which means they are not interested in prayers, engage constantly in the transcendental service of your lotus feet. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually says that pure devotees are not concerned with dharma, artha, kama, religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification, but they're concerned with moksha. Actually, Prabhupada says, they're concerned with moksha, but this moksha is not something to become one with the Supreme Lord. But they, Mahaprabhu explains that this moksha, real moksha means you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That's what moksha means, that you actually take shelter of the lotus feet of Shila, of Krishna. So that's the Shriya Kama which Lord Shiva is referring to. And in the seventh canto, Lord Narsingadev is speaking to Prahlad, and he says, my dear Prahlad, you're very fortunate. Please know for me that those who are very wise or sober and highly intelligent try to please me all different kinds of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill the desires of everyone. And that actually is the translation for Shreyas Kama. One who can, so that all of our desires are fulfilled. So Krishna is the person who fulfills all of our desires. If, of course, he'll fulfill the desires depending upon if we have material desires, Krishna will change them. Will, as he takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna will actually change our desires, like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he wanted to get a big kingdom. And when he actually saw the Lord, his desire actually, it was like broken glass. He didn't really have the desire to gain the big, what was it? Kingdom, the kingdom that he wanted. So Shreyas Kama is, Mandan Mohan Prabhu said Shreya Uttamam. That's actually in the verse in Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 21. Tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upasam shreyam. Shreya uttamam, the highest good. What is the highest good? So anyone who desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. And that's actually another very a point which many people who actually start taking Krishna consciousness seriously, they have a very it's a very hard thing for many people to go to that step of accepting a spiritual master. And because that's another surrender, that submission and surrender, and because we are so conditioned in this life to be independent, to be, you know, control my own. I've got control of my my destiny. I've got control of what I can do, how I can achieve different things in this life. So that is a very difficult step for many, many people. And but here, the Bhagavatam says that those who are serious and they desire real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master, and they will get real happiness. And as we know, the real happiness is one in which might seem very difficult in the beginning, like, you know, the Bhagavad Gita verse 18:37. In the beginning, it seems kind of a poison because it's so hard, but later on, at the end, it's nectar, because it develops, awakens our self-realization, and it is happiness which is in the mode of goodness, and ultimately it's happiness in the mode of it's transcendental. So if we want to get that real happiness, we need to get connected to the parampara. We know very, very learned scholars and learned people, like even the Goswamis, you know, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they are very learned. They were in great posts in the being ministers in the court. But when they came to Mahaprabhu, so Sanatan Goswami says, Kami, who am I? What am I? So this Krishna consciousness movement is for the Shreyas Kama, those who are serious about getting the ultimate benefit, and they become Mahabhaga, they become very, very fortunate. And Prabhupada actually says it's not for any ordinary person, because ordinary person, they will not be able to understand Krishna consciousness. But a Mahabhaga, a very, very fortunate person, will actually understand and will actually desire to get to the highest goal, achieve the highest goal. So, Brahmanda Bhagnite Koro Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. So by the grace of Guru, we actually get that Bhakti Lata Beej, and by the mercy of the Guru, that beej can, that seed can actually flourish. We keep on watering that seed. We keep on, as the Bhakti Lata is growing, we want to keep on taking the weeds out. By associating with devotees, we can learn what are our shortcomings. So all of that process actually begins by surrendering to a Guru. And so in the purport, actually, Srila Prabhupada says, in Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharya is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always well-wishers for the general public. So, as we know, Srila Prabhupada, he always used to write, you know, at the end of his letters, he used to say, your well-wisher. He's actually our ever well-wisher. And he was in his, what you can say, the retirement years, when people move from the north to the south, they come and live in Florida, everything is very, very, the weather is good, and they want to retire. But a devotee, and Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example, no retirement for him. He actually, it was not that, or the Goswamis, they went to Vrindavan, it's not that they were just chilling out, they were actually hardly taking any rest. Their whole life was how they were translating, they were writing, they were, and Srila Prabhupada hardly took rest, what, 2 or 3 hours a night? So, more work. And we see many of our devotees who have retired from their jobs, and they came here to Alachua. I can think of our, not our GBC anymore, but Tamohar Prabhu. I was recently talking to him actually on Sunday, and he has retired from his, when he was a professor. He came here and he was working, he has taken so many responsibilities of being a GBC, traveling all the time. And now he's not traveling much because he's no longer GBC, but he is working and he's saying how we can keep this temple safe with all the things going on in this country about, you know, the school shootings and the in different religious organizations, in temples and mosques. So he is now focusing on how do we keep this temple safe? How do we keep our community safe? So no retirement for devotees, because we actually think, when I retire, I'll do more service. How can I get my all of my material things taken care of and minimize my requirements, my material requirements, so I can actually do more service? So that is actually the mood of a devotee, so that they can become well-wishers of the general public, which is Prabhupada says in this purport. And then he also says, spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. So we need to focus on our spiritual well-being. So for in this regard, I see Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nitya abhiyuktatam yoga shemam vahamiham. So the translation is that those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So if somebody is completely engaged in aspiring for spiritual advancement, then yoga kshemam vahamiham, I take charge of yoga kshemam, which means things that they don't have, that Krishna will supply that thing. And kshema means what is already possessed. So he protects what we have and he provides what we lack. So just like the example is given of a child is holding his father's hand, and he's totally confident and he gives himself totally to his father. When they're crossing the road, he knows my father will take care of me. Or the child doesn't have to worry, winter is coming. I need to get a winter jacket, I need to get boots, I need to get mittens. The parents will take care of it. They will be provided. So similarly, we don't have to worry. Krishna is supplying everything, as the example we know many times. We have heard of this example. The elephant eats tons of food and the ant eats a grain. Krishna provides for both of them and provides for everybody. So Krishna is supplying everything. So we need to be concerned about our spiritual well-being, Shreyas Kama, and the material well-being will follow automatically. And we actually need to take that literally. And I know in my life that there have been many, many difficult times materially. However, somehow by Krishna's arrangement, my focus was to, at least I want to serve my guru, I want to chant 16 rounds every day. And things, ups and downs have come and gone, but when we take that shelter of our sadhana, then the material things will just readjust. They will readjust and then they will kind of follow the spiritual well-being. So we need to take, I think we need to take that very literally. Even though we might not have much faith, but based on Srila Prabhupada's recommendation, spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being, we can be assured that it'll happen. It's happening actually. So, in my notes, I said something about Shreyas zone. So we are in our, you know, sadhana stage. We have been given this very beautiful gift of Krishna consciousness, and we say, okay, I'm in, and I'm happy where I'm at. But the Shastras say, please do not just, you want to, you know, don't be like the marriage party, which was, you know, they were rowing the boat all night, and in the morning, they were still in the same place, because the anchor was right there, and they did not move anywhere. So we want to take that anchor out, so that we can actually be in the Shreyas zone. We can actually be looking towards that goal. And sometimes, you know, where we are at materially, it might seem like it's very difficult to get to that goal. But we want to keep it in our rear view mirror as well as in the front. We want to see, at least we have the goal in mind. And as Srila Prabhupada actually would say, if we just keep desiring, say for example, we want to go out for book distribution, but whatever my situation, I've got 4 children, I have got to make money to keep take care of my material needs, I have this, I have that, but my desire is to one day, you know, go back to Godhead. My desire is to engage in so many things of sadhana bhakti, but at this point I cannot do all those. But at least I can keep that in my vision. Let's keep that goal. Let's be in the Shreyas zone. And that's what I got from this verse, that Shreyas Pumsam Ekan Tatha Shreyas, absolute ultimate good. So we want to see what's our ultimate good and then what is the ultimate good for other people who are around us. So continuing with the purport, says the Acharya therefore gives direction in spiritual well-being for the people in general. So here there was an important point which Srila Prabhupada is making, that the Acharya gives directions, and elsewhere Prabhupada says the Acharya knows how to adjust things, at the same time keep pace with the spiritual injunction. So he says, just like, you know, like his Guru Maharaj, he made the adjustment that he was driving in a motor car, and it was considered totally like a no-no for a sannyasi to go in a car. And but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, if it is needed for my preaching, I'll drive in a motor car. Srila Prabhupada took the airplane and came, and he says, if I was walking, how far could I have gone? Couldn't have gone very far. So Prabhupada says, we can keep on preaching. We, like, you know, the Goswamis were, Vrindavan were living under a tree, and they were doing many, many austerities. So, but Srila Prabhupada actually came, he was living in a small little room in East and Lower East Side. He was just chanting in Tompkins Square Park by himself. And then when the time came, the new Vrindavan big palace was built for him. And he accepted both of them. But his goal was, how can I make myself in such a way that other people will benefit. So Prabhupada kept his real purpose, and as far as possible, he modified the details, but not the message. So I also think of the many, many stalwart preachers of our, after Srila Prabhupada, who have come in our movement, and they have also done things which seem kind of revolutionary. Some people are objecting to things which they might be doing, but we see that they are also not modifying, not changing the message. The details might be changed. And like the huge festivals which Indradumna Swami does in Poland, I don't think these were ever done before. But Indradumna Swami has included so many different items to make the presentation very, very attractive to masses of people, or Radhanath Swami or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Such wonderful preaching in the DC area, which Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did, by keeping the message secure and modifying some details. And one last thing which I want to say is that when I was researching Shreyas, I came across this class of Srila Prabhupada on Canto 1, Chapter 13, Verse 12. So Prabhupada was saying that everyone should read books, his books, and others should hear. He says it's very essential. The more you hear, the more you can, you know, talk about it. And Prabhupada says there are so many verses in stock already. You can go on speaking, Prabhupada says, for 50 years. And I was just thinking about our 25 years. We did one verse a day, maybe 2 or 3 verses sometimes. We actually were able to finish the Bhagavatam in 25 years. So Prabhupada says we have a lot of stock. Don't have to go anywhere. We don't actually have to look. Don't have to look into any other literature, because there is so much nectar, and we can each take a vow. Like, you know, like Vaisheshika Prabhu has this app they developed from ISV. Be a sage, page by page. So you take, you decide. Okay, I'm going to read the Bhagavatam every day. I'm going to read so many verses. So you can actually plug in the number. Okay, maybe I'll read 10 verses a day. It'll tell you, it'll take you 16 years to finish the whole Bhagavatam. But you know, and actually Vaisheshika Prabhu says very funny. He says, somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and say, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? You say, it'll be 2026 that I'll finish the Bhagavatam. June 5th, 2026. So we take on that. I did teaching of Lord Chaitanya like this. I said, okay, I'll read 10 pages a day. And it told me, you'll finish it in September or whatever. So we can actually take on, we can actually become very serious. And when we become serious, our sincerity grows and the submission comes automatically. So, my dear devotees, I really pray that we all engage in this Shreyas Kama continuously and eternally, and for our ultimate good and for the good of people in general. So I'll just read the verse again. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. If anybody has any questions or comments, I'd appreciate to at this time. Hare Krishna. Yes, Sri Vikram Prabhu.
So, we have over, you say, about 80% of the population of this world don't believe that they are a soul. In other words,
they think that they are just God. How can we able to impact these people? I mean, it's getting worse. You know, it's not like it's getting better. It's more and more people are falling into this.
Actually, it is a conundrum. However, I can just quote from, I listen to Vaisheshika Prabhu quite a lot, and one of the things which he talked about and which I found as a teacher of civics, there was a pamphlet called Common Sense, when in 1700s, 1775, a pamphlet called Common Sense was written, and it was distributed in the colonies. It was written by an Englishman, who John Locke, and he, Thomas Paine, and he distributed it, he just actually printed it anonymously, and it was like 40 pages long, a pamphlet, and it said, the gist was, it made sense to get rid of the British, to become independent of the British. And he distributed, at that time, actually till today, it's considered the highest selling book of all times, per capita. So thousands, hundreds and thousands of those pamphlets were distributed in the colonies and in England and other countries as well. And it actually, within a year, it made so much impact that people became very much, okay, we need to get independence. So Prabhupada, when Vaisheshika Prabhu was mentioning this, he was saying that our books are like idea seeds. We need to actually plaster the world with these books and the ideas. When we actually give a book to somebody, we tell them, if we give them this idea, we tell them, you're not this body. You're going through childhood, youth, old age, and disease. You're going through from childhood to youth to old age. You're going to another body. This cycle of birth and death is going on for millions of years. You want to get out of this cycle. We give them just this little gist, and we tell them and we give them the books. Those are the idea seeds which will spread and which actually are very potent to make a change in the consciousness of the people. And we see, and I'm sure Devyanga Prabhu can attest to it, when we give and show these books to people and tell them a little something, that thing changes, you know, and we have testimonials from people who we met, who took up the practice, and they actually are now sharing with others. So we need to keep on making this. We cannot just become static. We have to keep on distributing, keep on giving this knowledge to others, and that's how we are going to make the change. And if 20% has changed, that's a good number, right? If
yeah, 20% definitely. Of people have changed, thank you so much. Very nice answer.
Yeah. Mother Sukhada.
And the fact is, we've already seen the changes. It's because already all the books have gone out. There's so many, you know, being a vegetarian or being a vegan, that is just mainstream, common now. And when the movement began, it was very weird to be a vegetarian. And kirtan has also become just worldwide. That's all from Prabhupada's books. All of those changes, which are big changes, you know, in the general population, that's all from Srila Prabhupada just coming and distributing his books, distributing prasadam, and going out on Harinam.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
And I was thinking about how you were saying the hardest step for people is to accept a spiritual master. It's kind of amazing because whatever you do, you need a teacher. You know, it's like any little thing. You want to become a vet, or you want to become a nurse, or you know, you have a teacher. But when it comes to spiritual life, people just want to be like, oh, you know, they're just going to do it on their own, or they're just getting it, you know, from up above or something. So that's something to mention too to people. Like, you need a teacher for everything in spiritual life as well. You know, it can.
Right.
You might be able to learn how to be a vet on your own, but how long is it going to take you? And then I have one question also that, you know, because you always hear that, you know, the animals, that they are getting what they need. Because, I mean, I totally agree with the concept that if your spiritual well-being brings material well-being, but the idea that everybody's getting what they need, if that doesn't, I don't see that like in the material world, you know, especially in Kali Yuga. It's like there's animals that are starving, there's droughts, there's people that starve, and you know what I'm saying? So, because you always hear that example, right? We always hear that example that the elephant, he gets everything he needs, or this, but it doesn't really hold true, I guess, because we're in Kali Yuga. And our spiritual well-being, our austerities can bring about more spiritual well-being, but in terms of material well-being, that is really bad in Kali Yuga and right now.
Yeah, things are deteriorating, as the verse says, deteriorating in this Kali Yuga. And they were already seeing it in the beginning of Kali Yuga. And things are going to, as we know from the canto 11 and 12, things are going to just go worse and worse. Yes, you're right in pointing it out that this, because we are disturbing so much, we're disturbing the habitats, we're disturbing the food source for the animals, and unnecessary even killing, poaching of the animals, so that people can get money for getting ivory. And yeah, it is all the iniquities of Kali Yuga. You can point it out. However, but for each individual person, if we actually examine our life and we see where our focus has been, when our focus is more on our spiritual well-being, we will see that things get adjusted and materially things fall in place. Mm-hmm. They do fall in place. And sometimes it's actually very, it's amazing that you think, but how is it possible? How is it possible? But Krishna actually makes the arrangement, and we actually have to see when things are actually not even being very favorable. When we see Krishna's hand in that, that's when we make that very difficult process of, you know, that little change, that little advancement. A little advancement is made when we see Krishna's hand in everything. When we see Krishna's hand in everything, things which are not going well at all, we also have to see Krishna's hand, not just in name only, but deeply inside. When we get that realization, then that advancement is made, and then we will see that actually that is my well-being as well. And so, I mean, it will be a lot of philosophical understanding of our well-being, and materially, things will do get adjusted. That's at least that's my experience. And if somebody else would like to address it, that would be very good. Thank you, Mother. Ran Govinda Prabhu, you had your hand raised?
Nice, Prabhu. Thank you. I just wanted to share this because I was in the store a couple days ago. Some socks. Try to find some cotton socks. It's not easy. Anyway, this nice lady was helping me try to find cotton socks. As you pull them down, it's 98% plastic, you know. Anyway, but she was very helpful. She was looking all over. So I had books in my pocket like I do. So I gave her, I couldn't find a sock I wanted, but I said, here, here's a book on spiritual yoga. And the woman just broke down and started crying right on the spot, right at her job in the store, and said, oh, you're sent from God.
Haribo.
I was like, nah. But and she said, my daughter started telling, people tell me all kinds of stuff. My daughter did this, did that, now she's getting bad grades. And I mean, the woman just totally broke down, standing there holding the book. I felt so sorry for her, but I was very happy for her because she just got Prabhupada's book.
Hare Krishna.
And she hugged me. I mean, she just was, she was so emotional. It was just, and all I did was hand her the book. That's wow. All I did. I didn't say anything. I said, here, spiritual yoga. And that's all you got to do. Just, you have to avail yourself to it. Be prepared. If you have some books in your pocket or in your purse or whatever, just hand one to somebody. See what happens.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You made Shreyas Kama for that person. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you.
It reminded me of a Gyata Sukriti that she was looking for socks as feet. So she was serving the feet of the devotees, so she got out as a Gyata Sukriti. When you said in name only, that I sometimes have a problem with the way my brain thinks, and I thought it is a name only that's offering all benedictions upon the living beings. So I just switched it around. You know, I, Saraswati, she'll take it and switch it. And when, thank you so much for your class. And I was thinking you quoted the first part of that verse, Kayami. But the second part also would have fit so nicely. If I don't know this, how can I be benefited? Because the Shreya and the Preya have benefit. So he says, if we don't know that first point, you know, why this miseries are there, why am I suffering, and who am I, then we can't be benefited. So naturally, you mentioned the spiritual master, and we're not this body. So the bodily conception of life just means sense gratification. So as long as one is thinking as sense gratification, it manifests, and then the spiritual master gives you devotional service. So then you can think not in the bodily conception. Thanks again.
Thank you, Guruji.
I was unnecessary, but this is the first question. What was the first answer?
You tell us.
Yeah. It's a 1-6. 1.2.6. Sabe pungsa paro dharma jata bhakti radakshaje. Ahituki apratiyata jatma suprasiddhati. Prabhupada quote that verse so much. Because every question, we should remember the question, what is the ultimate good? But the answer is also given. So that's how we can memorize those things. The answer is given that bhakti to that Supreme Lord, Adokshaja, is the ultimate benefit. Why? Because it is pleasing the Lord, also pleasing the soul. It's a very sweet question, sweet answer. So you can remember.
Thank
also
you.
Another thing with this, that we are not this body, we are, you know, we are spirit soul. But there should be some thoroughly, I haven't found any challenge. Maybe I'm a little weird. Because I explained, I remember when morning walk Prabhupada said, we are conscious being. Are you conscious that your consciousness is conscious of Krishna? We should focus on that we are made of thinking, willing, feeling. When we say we are spirit soul, people don't understand. I kind of challenged Neil Hopper, Holy Faith. He's an Indian from Cochin, a priest, Catholic priest. I said, what is spirit soul? No, I said, what is spirit? He said, soul. I said, what is soul? He said, spirit. I said, what is spirit? He said, soul. I said, you're like a little parrot. You don't mind. Why don't you ask me if you want to know about it? And then I explained him. We are conscious being. We are product of our conscious decision. We are not product of our situation. So we more we think, Prabhupada promoted this, that we are conscious being because we are fully aware. And consciousness cannot be measured by any machine in this world. We can literally prove them that we are product of spiritual atmosphere, not material. Dead matter cannot measure the emotional feeling a person has for another person or God. There's no machine. It's a very practically, I mean, we think. So when you speak from that level to the young student, they understand, they can relate right away. They say, yes, you are not this body means you are not made of matter. You are made of thinking, willing, aware. You are aware what's going on. The matter, the body cannot think. So like that way, and there's a whole description.
Actually, I find it very, I would just say about the shirt, you know. Today you're wearing green shirt, tomorrow you'll be wearing some other color shirt. Yeah. So are you that shirt? And that is so graphic that, yeah. Because you're not this shirt. And today was the Gator game, they're wearing all Gator clothes, and tomorrow you will not be wearing that. And, but you're still the same person. And then that gives me a chance to ask them, what's your name, you know? So you are, okay, John. So John, you're, so they, that becomes, you can inject being very personal with them at the same time. And yeah, this it's more subtle. Thinking, feeling, willing is more subtle. And if we have more time, definitely we can talk to them about that. Yeah. I'll just read that answer which you said in Sanskrit. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Jai. Granth Rashi Maj Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Gaur.